Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
With your teachers, Genesis 26, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to drop down to the 12th verse and pick it up from there. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Wouldn't you like that to be said of you? You began to prosper and continued prospering until you were very prosperous. It's pretty awesome. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. I'd like to preach a message today entitled, Pregnant with Promise. Pregnant with Promise. I'm going to say a prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this Sunday, God. I give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm still amazed when I consider that when Valerie and I first started, it was just the two of us. Just the two of us. And then Caleb was born, and there were three of us. And that was a shock, you know. You mean we have to take him home from the hospital? You're not going with us? No nurses at the house to help us out. And, you know, then almost immediately, there was Elizabeth. And now there's four of us. And then Alexander, and there were five of us. Lizzie got married, there were six of us. Caleb got married, seven of us. Our precious Lyra Jane was born. And there were more of us. And then more grandkids. Another daughter-in-law. Until now, there are 13 of us and three more on the way. That's 16. Again, we started with two. And here we are at 16. We've got to go to Florida because our family in Florida, it was our year for them to come up. They got sick. And they couldn't make it. It was very sad. Me and Valerie were sad. We celebrated with who we had in town, but we were sad that we didn't have them all together. So now we're having to make the trip, and I had to use up the last of my big points because I got four suitcases full of gifts from the whole family that I got to bring to Florida. And so we're going down to bring all these gifts to them because there's just so many of us. We started with two, and I guess we got Genesis 1:28 down. Be fruitful and multiply, right? And that's God's plan. Really, it is in all things. Be fruitful and multiply. It's a kingdom principle. But between conception and birth, there's a time of waiting. It's called pregnancy. In our reading, Isaac is in the land that had been promised to him. He's the son of Abraham, and so the land belongs to him. He could say to those Philistines, "This land is my land, but this land ain't your land." It belonged to him, but he hadn't fully possessed the promised land yet. In a sense, he was pregnant with promise, but it hadn't been born, not yet. Physically, a man doesn't have what's necessary to become pregnant and carry a child. And the culture is absolutely nuts to try to say that he can, to even suggest that he does have what it takes. But a man or a woman can be pregnant with a promise from God. That just takes the ability to believe. We're begotten by the seed of the Word of God. And that's Isaac here. He's pregnant with promise. In our reading, Isaac was in a part of the promised land called Gerar. It belonged to Isaac by promise, but it was occupied by the Philistines in real time. In other words, he was pregnant with promise, but between his receiving the promise and it being born, there was going to be some time. I want to stop here and ask you, what has God promised you? Now, for sure, he's promised you the forgiveness of sins and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't yet gone there, you don't have to wait any longer. We can help you go there. That's a promise you don't have to wait for. God's already promised it to you. You just need to receive it. But let me ask you about this. Promises like dreams, callings, ministry, things that God's placed on the inside of you. I believe I'm looking at a house full of people today who are pregnant with promise. God's wanting you to give birth to promises. He's put them in you, but you have to carry them for them to come to pass. And you've got to understand, from when faith is conceived in you until the promise is realized or manifested, it takes some time. But just because you haven't given birth to the promise yet doesn't mean you're not pregnant with it. And just because you haven't manifested that promise yet doesn't mean that it's not going to manifest. You're in the pregnancy phase of carrying that promise. If a woman is 3 months pregnant, she shouldn't throw her hands up in the air and say, "Well, it's not here yet. I guess I'm not pregnant. The doctor was wrong." No, that's not the way she needs to approach it. It takes time. She's still pregnant with promise. You're still pregnant with promise, even though it hasn't appeared yet. Don't give up on your promises. Sometimes there's an occasional kick, you know, to remind a woman that she's pregnant. Valerie would be like, you know, "Look, look, oh my goodness." And there's, you know, Caleb, you know, "What's up with that?" That occasional kick, that movement in your spirit that lets you know it's still in there and one day it's coming out. I want to encourage somebody today, if you haven't seen your dream come to pass, don't be discouraged. You're still carrying the promise. You're still pregnant with promise. It's just not time yet. But let me tell you this, when it is time, you ain't got to worry about it. It's going to come out. It's going to manifest, and there ain't nothing hell can do to stop it. Come on now. Now, Gerar was a difficult place for Isaac to be in. The Philistines were there, and man, they were always a pain in the neck for Isaac and others. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, a famine hit Gerar. I mean, the food went away. Isaac was just like any of us. First thing he thought about was getting out of there, skipping town. He just wanted to go down to Egypt. I mean, that's where his daddy had run off 2 years before. But the Lord told Isaac not to leave. In other words, your daddy may have run out on the promise, but you're not going to run out on the promise, boy. In other words, don't give up on the promise because the enemy seems to be in control of when it's going to manifest or if it's going to manifest and is constantly giving you a hard time. Maybe those in your family gave up years before and ran out on the promise, but you don't need to run out just because they did. I want to help you. Don't give up because you're in a famine also, where it looks like the supply and the provisions have all dried up, and it looks like there's no way God's promise can ever come to pass. You hear this preacher man today. God would not allow Isaac to give up on the promise, and he's not wanting you to give up on it as well. God wouldn't let him move on and leave it behind. God knew if Isaac will stay put and just give it some time, the promise is going to be birthed through him, and you need to understand it's going to be birthed through you as well in Jesus' name. Give God some praise for that. Hallelujah. The Philistines, they were difficult to deal with. They were a mess. They were wicked, vile. They offered up their kids as sacrifices. I mean, it was miserable, the Philistines. They were just difficult to deal with. They were just a mess, a wretched culture that he was having to deal with the Philistines. And the famine was frustrating. It was very uncomfortable. It was very painful. I mean, the Philistines were bad enough, but then you throw in the famine, the pain gets worse. And if he'd just stick around, here's the deal. He would later redig the wells that his dad started and worked on years before. But if he skipped out and went down to Egypt, he might not ever make it back. You don't need to give up on the promises because the promise seems to tarry long. The Bible says, even though the word tarries, wait for it. God knows how to bring it to pass. God knows how to birth it in your life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Check this out. Around your brain and spinal column, I should have put some graphics on the screen, there are three protective layers. The pia mater, which means tender mother. The arachnoid mater, which means cobweb-like mother. And the dural mater, which means tough mother. That's a little Latin for you. Just outside the dural mater is where an anesthesia can be administered to a woman who's in labor. The procedure is called an epidural. You've heard of it. An epidural anesthesia. And it's meant to dull the pain, hopefully take it all away, of childbirth. Why is an epidural preferred by so many women? Because giving birth to a child, as some of you mothers, all of you mothers can attest to, is one of the most painful things a human being can endure. Best I got? Kidney stone. But I don't even pretend. I have no idea what you ladies go through. I thank God that I wasn't born a woman. And why in God's name would any man want to be pregnant? Good Lord, what is wrong with you? I heard a story about a couple that loved the outdoors. They love camping and hiking. One time, the man and wife were out hiking. They found some wild mushrooms. And they're like, man, these look great. So they picked them and brought them home. They were having some friends over for dinner. So they sauteed up the mushrooms. And I mean, they were awesome. And right before dinner, before the people, their friends got there, the cat came up meowing. And so the man gave the cat some of the mushrooms. Cat goes off, you know. Friends come in, they eat. They all eat the mushrooms. They're like, man, those mushrooms are awesome. They're like, thank you, man. We were out, you know, we picked them. They're wild mushrooms. You know, that's just awesome. And so they all finished dinner, and they heard in the other room the cat screaming and carrying on, just whining and meowing and just going nuts in the next room. And they went in and they found the cat wailing, just foaming at the mouth. The man gets pretty concerned. He immediately calls the vet. The vet said, did you feed the cat anything? The man said, yeah, some mushrooms. We all ate them too, you know. We're all fine. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, listen, you need all of you and your friends, y'all need to go to the emergency room immediately, get checked out because, I mean, y'all just ate all those mushrooms. And so they're all scared out of their minds. They all go to the emergency room. They get checked out. They think we're going to have to get our stomachs pumped. And they're just, but they check out. They're okay. They come home and find the cat just sitting there with the 7 kittens that it gave birth to while they were at the emergency room. I am told, here's the deal. That cat was wailing and foaming at the mouth, not because of wild mushrooms, but because it was giving birth to little kittens. I am told, and I have it on good authority, that a pregnant woman in the first trimester is usually sick and nauseated, especially in the morning. And in the second trimester, she feels better. Some even say they just feel good and energized. In the third trimester, she's uncomfortable and has a hard time breathing. But by the end of the third trimester, she's very uncomfortable. And then when the real contractions start, not the Braxton Hicks kind, but the real ones 6 minutes apart, I am told, I have it on good authority, that's when it hurts the most and the pain is the most intense, just before the child is born. What I'm saying to you is that some of you are pregnant with promise and you're carrying promises that God put in your spirit. And I mean, possibility and calling and dreams and destiny. And you're carrying something that originated with Almighty God. But you find yourself dealing with an intensification of trouble and pain and discomfort. Could it be that you're closer than ever to seeing the manifestation and the birth of that dream coming to pass? I mean, that calling being fulfilled. God's wanting to birth some ministries in this house in 24. He's wanting to birth some visions and some dreams in 24. And I'm telling you something, when the pain intensifies, you're closer than ever to seeing God birth in you what He planted in you in the first place. Give God some praise in faith right now. Come on, you need to claim that. Let's take a moment. I claim that, Lord Jesus. Birth in me what you planted in me, God. I'm going to stay in the game. I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to believe it, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. When you're pregnant with promise, it makes you different. You're not like everybody else in this world. You're carrying something. And the fact that you're carrying it, it's changed you. It's affected you. You're not the same. You're different. Rare is the woman that is pregnant. I mean, you hear about these stories, but I'm saying rare is the woman who's pregnant for long and doesn't know it. Her body tells her that she's expecting. Women get this feeling. Valerie with Alexander, man, Valerie woke up in the middle of the night, and I could feel her awakeness. Y'all know what I'm talking about, like her eyes popped open, and it almost scared me. You know, it was middle of the night, Kevin, and she's like, "I'm pregnant," and I'm like, "You ain't pregnant." I mean, 6 years after Elizabeth's like, I'm like, "Nah, you ain't pregnant." She's like, "I'm telling this," she's mad. "I'm telling you." She's like, "You need to get up right now, go to the store, give me a test. I'm pregnant." And I'm like, "You ain't pregnant. I'm not getting up smelling night." Wrong thing to say. So as I'm driving to the store, I'm praying. I'm like, "Lord Jesus, please, you know, like, I love my children, but I don't want no more, you know." And so I go to the store, I come back. She looks at it, she goes, "You bought me the Walmart brand test. Sam's Choice pregnancy test, you know, whatever, you know. And old Roy's test, you know." And I'm like, you know, she's mad I didn't get the right test, Devedra. You know, I'm just like, I'm trying. I couldn't do anything right. She takes the test and immediately it's like big old positive, you know. She drops down. She's just weeping and crying. And I'm kind of like, I don't know, Abraham and Sarah. I'm just kind of laughing. I'm like, "Wow, we're pregnant. How about that?" I took some pictures. Worst mistake, making a bad situation even worse. I'm taking pictures of her crying, and I'm like, "This is awesome." And but you know, she knew. She just knew. Her body told her. She just knew. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. She knew. And, you know, and women get these cravings. You know, these cravings. Valerie with Alexander, she craved, she wanted biscuits and gravy, sausage gravy every morning. She wanted, and Caleb and Elizabeth, they're like, please, Mom, we don't want biscuits and sausage gravy. She's like, shut up and sit down. Look like sausage. She's like, sausage and gravy and biscuits. I mean, like, they crave it. Alexander's already told me, you know, Reagan's pregnant. Alexander's already told me, he's like, well, I was, you know, he does. He's like, well, you know, I've been making some McDonald's runs, you know, going to McDonald's in the middle of the night. because she's been craving it, you know. It's pretty funny. When you're pregnant with promise, things change. Like, it makes you different. You talk different. Your language shifts. It adjusts. You walk different. The longer you go, the more different your walk becomes. You dress different. You can't dress the same way. You start going to the maternity section, right? You behave different. You don't do some things you used to do. You do some things you used to not to do. It's because you're pregnant with promise. And you want to protect that promise. You want to guard it. You want to be careful what you eat, what you drink, where you go. Certain medicines you can't take anymore. That's one of the problems with some of my family. They were sick, and they're like, well, pregnant, you know, with twins, can't take every medicine that you would normally take because you're wanting to protect what you're carrying. There are some rides you can't ride at Disney World. If you're pregnant, you can't get on that ride. Why? Because it's an endangerment to what you're carrying. It would harm what you're carrying, or it would threaten your ability to carry it to full term and give birth to it. It's here's the deal. I want to make it plain. When you're pregnant with promise, you just can't act like the rest of the world. I want to bring it home here. When you're pregnant with promise, you got to be careful about where you go and what you do. You just can't light up and puff. You can't just get drunk and stay up all night because you're carrying something that God's wanting to birth in and through you. You've got to change your behaviors because you're, you know, as they say, eating for two. You're acting on behalf of that thing that you're carrying on the inside of you. You've got to protect it because God, it is a holy thing that is in you. It is a holy thing that God is wanting to do through you. It is an honor and a privilege to be used by God. Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Not my will, but yours be done. I'll endure the ridicule. I'll endure the criticism. I want to take this to full term because I know what you've done is so important. What God's doing in you is important as well. It's got a redemptive purpose. It's a holy thing in the hands of God. Thank you, Lord, for that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Use me, God. Too many of us are just content to live fast and loose when we're carrying the promises of God. We're not careful enough to protect what we're carrying. Galatians 6:9 says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to reap. I want to give birth to every promise that God's placed in me. I live in the real world just like you. And I'm at 25 minutes, I'm almost done. I live in the real world just like you. And there are times when I find myself praying prayers that seem to be getting nowhere. And believing God for things to get better. And they seem to only get worse. And you're wondering why there's so much difficulty and pain when there are promises and dreams that God's put in you. And I want to help somebody with that. The pain intensifies, as I've said, just before the child is born. It's intense. Some of you are right on the brink of a breakthrough, the precipice of your promised land, the verge of God-given dreams coming to pass. And now is not the time to give up. It feels like it. But it's not the time to give up. If you went by how you feel, you'd lose the promise. You'd walk away from it all. And you could damage your ability to ever conceive again. When the pain is at its worst, you can't give up. It's not the time to abort. Obviously, that's bad for the child, for the promise, but it's also dangerous for the woman. The one being birthed and the one giving birth are both in danger if a mother chooses to walk away, to abort, especially during labor. The only way through the pain is you got to push through it. Isn't that what they always say? Push. I go back to old cowboy movies. Get me a pail of warm water and some towels, you know. Doc shows up at the house, you know. Push. I'm sorry. I'm going. My imagination's getting wild with me. And the doctor's there, you know. But they all, it's push. You got to push through it. When the pain is there, when it intensifies, you've got to push through it. I want to help somebody. You can't pull back when the pain intensifies. The only way through it is through it. You've got to push like your life depended on it, like the promises he's made depend on it, because they do. When Isaac was facing pressure from the Philistines and the famine, God told him to stay put. And then on top of that, Isaac sowed in that time of famine in that land that was occupied by the Philistines, and he received 100-fold. That's a very special amount right there. That's top tier return. Instead of leaving his promise when times got tough, he doubled down and he sowed into the land that was promised to him, into the word that had been sown into him. He knew it didn't belong to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. It was his. So he invested deeper into God's promises, put his stakes down deeper, even though it didn't look like it was getting him anywhere. I'm going to go ahead and act like this land belongs to me, is what he was saying. This famine is going to pass. I know it's here. I know the Philistines are here, but I'm going to sow. I'm putting my stakes down. I'm homesteading here on this promise. I am not giving up. And he reaped 100-fold. I want to tell you, when the pain is intense and when it doesn't look like it's working, intensify your confession and the words of your mouth. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Every word that he's promised shall come to pass. Intensify your obedience. I'll obey when it hurts. Intensify your worship. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere, but I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. Intensify your attitudes of love and peace and forgiveness. Come on now. Push, 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 push through it anyway in Jesus' name. You're pregnant with promise. Give him some praise right now. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Stand with me right now. I'm at 30 minutes. Let me just skip over a bunch of stuff here. Valerie and I moved to Maryland to plant a church. And when we did, we had a 1985 Chevy Astro van. Now, this is in 1998. We had a 1985 Chevy Astro van. I called it their mystery machine because I had mag wheels on that bad boy. Oh, yeah, I did. Fuzzy dice hanging down from the window. True story. Very true story. Mystery machine. It had a lot of miles on it. It was a mess. We didn't have what we needed. That van had belonged to Steve Gates. I thought about this week. Then it was purchased by Raymond Carter, and then we got it. And we needed another car that would make the long trip from Louisiana to Maryland back and forth, and we had three kids. We were going regardless. And we just didn't have what we needed. I think at the time I'd raised some money, I'd saved some money. been working on it. Our church had given us an offering. I think we had like $4,000. And we couldn't buy a car. And it was crazy. The day before, and we already had the U-Haul. We were leaving. We were packing up, leaving. We had rented our house out. We owned a house, and we were renting it out. And it was just covering the rent, basically. We weren't making money off of it. And I'll never forget. We had a relative, got funding from a settlement. And the day before we moved, got a phone call. We want to give you a tithe from this money. And it was just what we needed. We didn't know. We thought we'd hit the mother load. We thought we were rich. We had about 20 grand total now. And we thought we were rich. And we thought, you know, we're going to live on this money. We're going to get a vehicle, live on this money. Like, it's going to give us a little breathing room. What we didn't know is that it would take every dime just to get a vehicle, to get up there, and to rent a house. We ended up having to pay a chunk of it down because nobody believed me when I said, I don't have a job yet, but I'm starting a church, and I'm anointed, and the Holy Ghost is with me and going to help me pay the rent. And they're like, who in the world are you? No. Well, my credit's okay. And where do you work? For Jesus. You know, like, where's your church? It doesn't exist yet. We're about to start it. We had to end up paying a whole bunch of money down. It was just what we needed. It was very painful. The days before that move were incredibly painful. But God came through, and we were able to plant a church that still exists to this day. Almost 30 years later. It's crazy. It's crazy. When we were coming here to plant Bethesda, it was, again, so I told the Lord, I'll never do that again, Lord. And then the Lord said, I want you to go start a church in Prairieville. And I'm like, okay. And so we were doing everything we knew how to do. We did some things different. We learned a few things from up there. God was faithful. God was good. We were in better shape financially. And we came down here. We rented a big old nice house. And we rented that house because our house was our church. That's where we would meet. So we rented that big old house. And God linked us up to some wild boys and wild girls, just like unchurched people. Started bringing them over to the house. God started moving. It was awesome. But I still made a living traveling every weekend. So we would do midweek at the living room, and then I would travel on the weekend because I made a living doing that. I had recorded an album, I'd sell merch, and I would sing and preach, and people would pay me good money. And I'm out on the road, and I'd come back, and we'd do church in the midweek, and then I'd go out on the road. And finally, our little fledgling congregation, Mark Frank was here a few weeks ago, took a picture right in on Christmas at Bethesda. Mark and Mary Bell, some of those wild boys, they were like, we want to start doing a Sunday service. And I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. Problem is, I make a living on the road on the weekends. They're like, oh, pastor, but we got so many people who would come on Sundays. If you could just be here, we could. So we prayed about it. We felt good about it. We rented River Community up here at the corner of Bluff and Perkins. It was awesome, man. Made a deal with them. Garnet Slatton was the pastor at the time. Made a deal with those Presbyterians. It was awesome. And we were meeting there. It was coming up in October 2006. And I canceled all my gigs. We're starting to do Sunday services at our church. Got to cancel. Not going to be able to make it. Canceled everything. Got off the road. First service. Showed up. It was me and Valerie, the kids, and we had two guests in town that were friends of ours that were there, and I think one other person, two other people. None of them showed up. And it got tight. It was a little painful. Painful. I was feeling it, man. Which meant, you know, me and Valerie gave in the offering. I don't know if my two friends gave or not. It was slim pickings. And had to pay rent on top of that. All the equipment. We got all the equipment and stuff. So it was terrible. And then the next Sunday, like, I don't know, four or five showed up. And then next Sunday, six or seven showed up. And they'd still all show up on a Wednesday night, you know. But the weekend was so slow getting going. But before the first of 2007, we had a fledgling congregation. I got pictures from that era. It's just amazing what God started doing in that Presbyterian church. God started growing the church. It was very painful, but God was wanting to birth a regular weekend service, and we've never looked back, and we've never stopped. As a matter of fact, if you're around here very long and a hurricane's coming through or a snowstorm's coming through, I get all these texts, hey, are we canceling church? I'm like, no. Nah. No, we're not canceling. Everybody else is canceling, Pastor. We finally lightened up. But we started having church when nobody showed up, and eventually it grew. And it just toughened our resolve. Like, we're going to meet, come hell or high water, in Jesus' name. And what you see here is a result. It was birthed in a very painful season. What's God going to birth in you in 2024? What pain are you going through? And instead of quitting, you need to push through it. You need to get your faith level back up and say, in Jesus' name, I'm not like those that turn back, as the Bible says. We're not like those that quit. We're not quitters. You promised it. I haven't seen the promise come to pass. I'm not quitting until I see it come to pass. You got to persevere. You got to push through. God will birth some things in you. He'll give you purpose. And purpose, y'all, is what it's all about. A life driven, a life that moves and centers around purpose, a call of God, something bigger than you are and that I am. That's what it's all about. That gives you such meaning and significance and satisfaction, knowing that God would use you for a divine reason. In Jesus' name, would you close your eyes right now? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.